That's our first love. That's our first love. And have we lost it as a church? I think our hearts, as we heard in a word, can become sluggish. And that the call in these readings, in a sense, is to return to our first love. And I think Vatican II has got to be our first love. It's sad that we don't know more about the council. A really educated woman in the parish just recently heard her say that, well, the only thing I really remember about Vatican II is the priest now faces us in the masses in English. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The new Pentecost happened at Vatican II. And Pope Francis, Pope John the 23rd, before the gathering of the council, it was a very cool Pentecost because they picked an old guy that they thought wouldn't create too many ruffles. There wouldn't be any change in the church. And for 50 days, he asked the church up to Pentecost to pray a novena to the Holy Spirit. And studying the council intensively, what is so fascinating to me about John the 23rd is that it always comes back to the point that he just saw the council as an inspiration. And I think we have to say, came from the Holy Spirit. I mean, I would have thought he would have read something from a theologian or something that happened that struck, but it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at his life, he wasn't a radical liberal. Some of the theologians that were the most impactful at the council, he was very critical of as a nuncio. And yet then he's inviting them all to the council for the reform of the church. And that's where we come from. We come from Vatican II. The charismatic renewal comes from the reforms Vatican II. And the word's been strong that we've got to crush the pyramid of priests and people. Carol shared with us. She said, you know, I want the church, all of us, to claim our authority by our baptism, by our confirmation, and our mission by Eucharist as equals. And what happened in Vatican II was, it said, the priesthood, the ministry of priesthood, is called to be priest, prophet, and king. And that gets misinterpreted. We see in this diocese what happens when people behave like kings. King meant servant. But another way to put it is priest, prophet, and we all are responsible for the governance of the mission of the church. And what was so radical about Vatican II is it said everything that the priest had, the ministerial priest, priest, prophet, servant, we all have the same thing. And the gifts differ. And the gifts differ. And I don't think we've thought like that. You know, I was talking and I said, this is how sad things have gotten, really, Charleston. And I think it has to be a lamentation, a lament, before we can move through it. That's part of grief, to move through resurrection. But I think there has to be a lament. And someone said to me that this new bishop, Mark Brennan, walked in, and he was visiting John the 23rd and meeting with some folks. And they said they were so shocked because he carried his own bag. He didn't have a collar on. He was friendly. Isn't that sad? We're shocked. I mean, I carried my bag, maybe carried a bag in, that we're shocked by that type of behavior. What's the first love we lost, folks? What's the first love we lost? Vatican II. Vatican II. And Carol's here from a seminary. And I'm going to tell you, I was in seminary before John Paul called the visitation, and I was here after. And it was not good. Lay people homosexuality who were involved in seminary formation were often, they were kicked off the faculty after he visited, after the visitation. And I'm going to say some things that I'm going to use a word from you. I'm not trying to offend people, but I think we have to look critically at what happened. This diocese was on the cutting edge of Vatican II in the 1960s and 70s, even up to the 80s. And we lost that. Tell me, in 13 years, how much education has the diocese offered us? I think that's significant. Because if we don't know Vatican II, if we don't know what the vision of Pentecost is, then it's easy, you know, in a sense, I think there's been a pull to kind of try to keep us dumb so that we wouldn't question things. And that has to change. And it's a real challenge for charismatic renewal. I grew up in a charismatic parish, and I didn't even, you know it in the 1980s. Praise and worship, tongues, words were given, people were healed in the pews. Just grew up, and it was great. But, you know, like, and then my friends my age, what happened in the other church? I remember going to visit a church with my mom and dad that was Catholic. And I said, is this a Catholic church? And I think that's how prophetic we had become. And that wasn't everywhere. But the renewal of Vatican II was in a sense, widespread. And then I got in the seminary and I thought, man, before I opened the documents, I had an experience of them. We lost our first love. And we've got to be renewed. We have to go back to that source of the fire. And I don't think we can go back to something we were before. I think we fall back. The hurts, the failures, the difficulties of life, the challenges we face, we hear that word, go back to your first love with the Lord, and we think that's like something before all of that. No. Returning to our first love is moving forward because Jesus is Lord and is always new and is always there to offer us a new beginning. And so don't bring that old back to work. There's strongholds in us that hold us back. Allow God's love to break through those strongholds. Just be open and that so that we can not move back, but move forward into a first love, into a new beginning. And that's a challenge for charismatic renewal. I don't know. I was a little worried and concerned. I thought we might be done when Pope Francis started to show some excitement about charismatic renewal. Because I was afraid that what was going to happen was we looked to the Pope and that we had way too much of that in renewal with Benedict and John Paul. But then I read American Magazine and I finally started understanding what he was doing. He is calling charismatic renewal back to its first love. And he's a Pope that is a reformer committed to Vatican II. And rather than asking us to look to him, he wants to push us out the door to get back to a prophetic ministry. And if you look at what he said, go back to the 1970 documents of Cardinal Sunens, who said that we're called to be a channel of grace for the universal church. And he said, get back to the mission of our first love. How many Protestants are here? I think there's one. That's sad, folks. That's sad. Because Pope Francis said that ecumenism should be one of our top priorities. We need to move out. He said, service to the poor and work of social justice should be number two, and baptism in the Spirit, all three of those equals. That's our mission if we're going to carry out the vision of Vatican II. So don't look to him. Look forward to reform said there was one group of renewal that was very like, the author said, very kind of self-referential and congratulatory. And Francis wasn't with that group. He was with the Pentecostals and evangelicals who saw Jesus as Lord under that banner. And he's pushing us out the door towards reform. And so what does Vatican II mean? It starts with us to be renewed by a new Pentecost. But the readings today then mean that we have to move. I mean, when John the 23rd saw that vision, he gave up a lot of power to the whole, to the bishops universally. He sowed. He laid it out. And are we willing to get back to that spontaneity where we take risks? That's what our readings are about. That we have got to go forward with the sense of how the Spirit is moving us. I'm going to give a few examples of how I've seen this. So, in Preston County, our folks here know this, we have had a summer home repair program since 1985. But we have, about 800 youth in the county this summer and did about 88 projects. But that's been happening since 1986. But how did it happen? Was the spontaneity of the Spirit. Two teenage girls were watching Tom Brokaw, the news, because that was the only news hour, saw what was happening in Preston County, went to their youth minister, and he said, "That's great, we'll send some money down there." He said, "No, these two teenage girls, we want to go." And so they went into Preston County, went into Rollsburg, connected with the parish pastor at the time, Joe McKenna, and said, "We want to help." I said, "Great." He said, "I've got a house, got something you can clean up in Rollsburg, and then this family that's living in a car in Rollsburg can move in." And it spread up and down the East Coast like a butterfly effect as people caught word because of those two teenagers. That's the spontaneity of the Spirit. I said, don't tell the diocese about our program because then they'll try to institutionalize it. But because we can lose our prophetic ministry. And I'll give the second example. I'm not a Knights of Columbus. I'm not involved in the Knights of Columbus. So I can't take any credit for this. But I had a man come to me who was really concerned about the issues in Haiti and the poverty. I said to him, and he wanted to do this project with Cross Catholic to help the people of Haiti. I mean, he wanted to do a lot. I thought, I don't know. I said, "Ned, what's prompting you? Why do you feel called?" Well, he told me 40 years ago or whatever, he was in the Navy, and he was on the boat in Haiti, and he said they would throw their leftover food off the boat in Haiti. He would watch people crawl and scavenge for the food. And, he had a call. And he got the community involved. Thousands of lives were fed and are still being fed. And then they tried to get, the other Knights of Columbus said, "This will never work," until it worked. And then they wanted to get involved. But it was the spontaneity of the Spirit. And I think what we have to do is in our communities is be open to where we see that spontaneity of the Spirit and support it and move with it. I told my, I get scared sometimes that I might kill things. That as a priest that I may not, I'm sure I have. I probably missed things. Because this spontaneity spirit, I finally told my parish council, I said, "I hope you don't see what you do here as consultative.
just, you know, and I make the final decision. I said, you have got to have a role in the of governance that you actually are part of the decision-making process. We wouldn't have gotten the mess we were in this diocese if there were more women specifically, but more laity involved at the process of decision-making. And we have to fight for that because I'm telling you, the structures, it's been sick for so long, we have to challenge that the structures change. And I'm telling you, in your parishes, if you're yes, Father, and you're encouraging the clericalism, if you're just going along because Father said it, or being obedient to Father, because the Spirit calls us sometimes to challenge and move things towards reform. Last image of comes from John today. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain of wheat. And I know many of you have been involved in tech, but I don't know how, if most people know how tech got started. It was a young priest by the name of Matt Fedewa who realized he wasn't reaching the young people because we've done a horrible job at CCTG. He just realized he wasn't reaching the youth, and this was in the 70s. And so the spontaneity, he decided to do his doctorate on what Vatican II called enculturization, in engaging the culture and where people were at. And he wrote as his doctorate, the Teens Encounter Christ Weekend. Well, they did it at that high school when it took off like wildfire. They did it every weekend for two years. It touched thousands of lives. But he thought after that, it was over. Tech was done. Well, it had spread to Wheeling. It had spread to Florida. It had spread. He left. The nun, Dorothy, she had moved on. And it turned out that tech had spread all over the United States. He didn't even know it. He said, they traced it back and they said, were you the guy that kind of got the Kingdom kind of Christ going? It was simply the spontaneity and the creativity of the Spirit among, you know, and it was really a crusade of laity that really gave him the ability to set that experiment. And it was a less grain of wheat. The wheat taking the risk of dying, of going forth to bring forth new life. And so let's get back to that first love. Let's get back to the spontaneity of the Spirit. We've got a lot to face in our world. But let me tell you, secularity, Vatican II said, was an excellent thing. There's never been a Christian nation. There's never been. When throne and altar, Pope and King were together, that was bad. Vatican II accepted religious freedom so that we could be freed as a church to carry forth a prophetic ministry, to hold up the highest ideals of secularity, which are equality, justice, and human dignity. And folks, they're at stake. They're at stake from the beginning to the end of life and across the board. And we have a prophetic ministry. But here we have to see ourselves as that grain of wheat. And to see this as fertile ground. The fertile ground of God's love where that wheat will sprout. And just absorb that. Don't worry about what we're going to face out there right now. Absorb that love. Break through those strongholds. Because, see, here's the thing. Evolution says we think about self-preservation, survival of the fittest. But it's that image of the wheat, it's as it's absorbed in that good soil that we move beyond the fear of self-preservation. And we will move forward at the end of this week